What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you know that there is an extremely important election day coming up? It is on August 13th. If you're saying to yourself, Maggie, what the heck are you talking about? The election is in November. Well, August 13th is primary day, so don't tune me out yet. It's primary day. It's important. You should look at all the primary candidates, and you should obviously vote. All that matters, very much so. There's a couple of interesting elections. But the most important thing that will be on the ballot on August 13th ain't a primary vote. It's the Wisconsin GOP cramming through another two ridiculous constitutional amendments, anti-democratic constitutional amendments, because they can't get a bill passed, you know, in the normal way that a bill works. They're going to try to circumvent the will of the voters who elected Tony Evers governor and try to redo the balance of power here in the state of Wisconsin through two constitutional amendments. What these amendments are going to do is make it harder for any governor to spend money for public health, safety, and welfare on an emergency or emergent basis. Think about PFAS, right? It's creating all kinds of additional processes that are going to make that much more difficult. Think about PCBs. All that kind of jazz. Yeah, that's what they're trying to monkey with. Don't worry, I'll break it all down for you here on the Civic Media Radio Network, but I also will be making a special appearance in Milwaukee at a rally to talk about these very things this coming Sunday. I'll be at Doctors Park at 4 p.m. with the Grassroots North Shore Alliance talking about these constitutional amendments. I'll be joined by Sarah Godelewski, the Wisconsin Secretary of State and previous state treasurer, as well as Ian Schmidt-Ernst of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Awesome. So, you know, if it's Sunday and you want to talk about some interesting constitutional amendments that are going to be on your ballot on August 13th, every single one in the state, and you're in the Milwaukee area, I'll be at Doctors Park at 4 p.m. My thanks to the Grassroots North Shore Alliance for inviting me to come speak and address these things. I know I am really ticked off, but mark your calendars. August 13th, those two constitutional amendments will be on the ballot. You can learn more about those two amendments, about your polling place is, and how you can request an absentee ballot by going to myvote.wi.gov to get all of that information and more. So important. So important. And just a little note on this, Brian. Of course, are the amendments worded to be like, danger, danger, this monkeys with the separation of powers and the balance of how things get done, especially in public health emergencies? No, it doesn't say anything that like that. It makes it sound like, oh, nothing to see here. This is just restoring things to normal. Of course, they're worded in a confusing way, so you're definitely going to want to check that out. Dave from Madison, what do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Yeah, hi. I just tuned in. You were talking about inflation and the tax code, so I'll comment on one of them, inflation. Biden has absolute, presidents in general have very little to do with economic conditions. I mean, to some extent they do, but not necessarily. They do have some effect on fiscal policy, and that has some impact, but not that much. And also on what we produce and, you know, and how we produce them in industrial policy. But in general, with inflation has very little to do with presidents. You know, after in World War II, we had to shift production to produce items for the war, like planes and tanks, that kind of thing. So after World War II, because of that, because there was a shift in that, we weren't producing consumer goods. And so consumer goods, it took a while for them to bounce back, the supply of those. So we had almost 20% inflation The other major inflations we had was the Arab oil boycott.
Yep.
And oil, of course, was a major, one of the biggest factors of production in just about anything at that time especially. And that caused stagflation. And then the 1979 Iranian Revolution, the same thing. And oh, by the way, and of course, with COVID, you know, our industrial production declined dramatically. So we had a supply side problem there that Biden had nothing to do with. And as you say, you know, it happened in the rest of the world and to a greater extent in the rest of the world. Also, this time was a little different, though, because we have now the oligopolization of the world economy and, you know, the failure to enforce antitrust laws. But, you know, I don't think the president has that much to do with it.
It's really, I agree with all of your points, Dave. And I'll just make this this additional point. What we have now is a U.S. economy that is more integrated with the rest of the world. So while our economy, and to the extent that a president can, largely through industrial policy, and I'm actually going to talk about that today, one direct way for a president to impact our economy is through investments in infrastructure, right? And through negotiating prescription prices for Medicare and Medicaid recipients, which this president has done, right? You can't dictate prices in a capitalistic economy. So, you know, there are things beyond a president's control. But industrial policy, investments in infrastructure, that's we're going to talk about that today as part of day 25 of Joe Biden's top 100. But a key differentiator is the level of global trade integration. There are very few products, consumer products, that you can purchase that don't have some component that has come from some other country. They may be finally assembled here. But that's, so as the rest of the world struggled to respond to COVID, while Joe Biden succeeded in a COVID response, and a lot of this was because simply the largesse of the United States, we could ramp back up production, a lot of these different things. The rest of the world has struggled and is struggling mightily. Well, that affects prices here in the United States, and anybody that tells you any different is lying to you. We can argue about a matter of degree, but we can't argue that that level of integration and, frankly, some of the economic policy failures coming out of the EU and other major trading partners of the United States has been very problematic. And the answer, by the way, is not a 10% tariff on everything that gets imported into the United States and maybe a 60% tariff on everything that comes from China. That will bury the middle class. Thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
What you're saying is that the economy can't be reduced to just a catchphrase. And then if you just say, I don't like the milk prices, thanks, Biden, you're probably not really encapsulating the entire issue.
The entirety, yes. That's
maybe you're just not understanding what you're talking about.
And by the way, here, Project 2025, which will be on the docket for me this week. I've heard almost all of my co-hosts talk about it. I've been sort of saving my gunpowder for my show. I will get there this week in the run-up to the RNC. I will also talk about it, hopefully, during the RNC. I'll also do the VP Olympics will happen this week.
Woohoo!
It'll be like the sausage races at a Brewers game. But when you talk about economics and you talk about Project 2025, what the Heritage Foundation has said and what Donald Trump has agreed with is that he wants to be able to direct the U.S. Treasury and tell them, I want you to raise interest rates or lower interest rates. I will tell you, that would be an utter disaster for the U.S. economy. This is not enshrined in law anywhere, right? This is a norm that the President of the United States does not tell the U.S. Treasury whether, and the U.S. Federal Reserve, whether to raise or lower interest rates. Doesn't tell the Fed that. Doesn't tell the chair of the Fed that. Donald Trump wants the Fed chair to do what he tells them to do. That is not a good idea. On that basis alone, every single American could vote for Joe Biden. On that single differentiator could justify easily If you're in the middle class, if you work for a living, if you're not living off of a trust fund, that alone could justify a vote for Joe Biden. Donald Trump wants to direct the U.S. Treasury Secretary and the U.S. Federal Reserve on interest rate policy.
I feel like that's like a basic, once you've finished the Revolutionary War, the next thing is, now we've got our government up, everyone. Let's learn about how we should do it. And there's an entire debate, Alexander Hamilton, there was a musical, all these people.
So this is actually a specific sub-specialty within economics, and it's called institutional economics. And when you look at what happened in the former Soviet republics in Europe, many of them have struggled mightily after the fall of the Soviet Union, because what they didn't prop up, what they didn't enshrine in law, was an independent central bank. Every economist will tell you, if you believe in capitalism and you believe in democracy, you must have an independent central bank. We don't have that actually enshrined in law here. We have an existing norm, a norm that the Heritage Foundation and Donald Trump wants to wipe off the deck and make the Fed and the Treasury Department simply a political arm to exert control over the U.S. economy to serve the whims of the now imperial president that the Supreme Court has anointed. I'm sure that would go really well for the middle class if Donald Trump and his billionaire cronies have control of the White House. Absolutely insane. Oh, thank you, Dave from Madison, for that lovely re-engagement with all of these technical things that exist in economics. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We're going to talk about my friend and colleague's amazing interview with President Joe Biden, Earl's interview with President Biden. When we come back, you're not going to want to miss it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I never went bankrupt, by the way. As you know, everybody knows.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer extraordinaire is Brian Kelly. If you give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Sure, you say hello to Fancy Brian. I am so extraordinarily proud of my colleague, the man who is the only reason I'm on the radio, Earl Ingram, who's been doing radio in Milwaukee and now statewide for 15 plus years. Earl is an incredibly genuine human being. He always speaks from the heart. Earl is like the opposite of a spin guy, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like you ask him a question, Earl will just tell you. And
he cannot spin.
No, and I couldn't think of two more genuine blue-collar guys to shoot the breeze than President Biden and Earl Ingram.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Earl worked on a manufacturing line for 30 years, whatever it was.
Yeah, Earl's earned everything that he is and everything that he's become.
Yes.
And has been an activist for years. He's been involved, and I could not think of a better person to represent the city of Milwaukee than Earl Ingram, because he's lived here all of his life and he loves this town.
Yes, he does. So it was so great that the president wanted to be interviewed by Earl. And of course, whether or not black voters in Milwaukee turn out for Joe Biden will matter this November. Absolutely crucial. Crucial. But I wanted to share, if you didn't happen to hear the interview in its entirety, I wanted to share a little bit of some of the incredible, my favorite piece of the interview. I also wanted, so the buildup, we're going to do it in the appropriate steps here. I want to start with, from the White House press briefing room, the announcement of the interview, which I thought was just great. I was so thrilled. Let's take a listen to that.
Today, President Biden taped two black radio interviews that will air tomorrow morning. One is with Earl Ingram on Civic Media Network, which airs across Wisconsin.
I mean, oh, cool, yeah.
White House Press Secretary, our name is in her mouth. That's fantastic.
Karine Jean-Pierre. I mean, so fabulous. And then this is absolutely my favorite part of Earl's interview. Let's take a listen. This is the interaction just at the end. These are two human beings having a conversation.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all of civic media.
You did do that.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for all of civic media across the network, across this entire state, that we support you, we love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, by the way, as my mother would say, you're doing God's work, kid. This is really important for so many, many people. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Just two people having a conversation. And I've made no compunction about the fact that I support the president. I think the choice is clear here. We're going to engage the conversation. I'm going to ask you your feedback about whether or not you think Joe Biden should remain on the ticket. Let's have that conversation. I'll give you my opinion at the end of that conversation. So if you'd like to chime in on that, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should Joe Biden stay on the ticket or should he step out of the race? Earl also was on Out Front. He was on CNN. He was on The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. He was on NPR. Let's take Earl in Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room, the minute-long clip that we've got, Ryan.
Well, my listeners, for the most part, I would say 70-30, have been in support of the president remaining in the race. And they clearly don't think that there's anyone else, and they think that it's too late a date and time to even consider making the change because they're so adamant about defeating Donald Trump. They understand that Joe Biden is not the person that he was, you know, 2 years ago. The gentleman is 81 years old. I'm 70 years old. And I clearly know that I'm certainly not the guy I was when I was 60 or 50. Age changes all of us. The evil consequences of time will catch up with all of us. None
really
of us
quick, 15
that.
Seconds, because we're running out of time. 70 or 30%, which bucket do you fall in?
30%.
So you believe he should step aside?
Again, it's up to between him and his family.
I think Earl, you know, again, speaks from the heart, tells you exactly where he is at about things. We're going to have that conversation here on the air. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should Joe Biden step down? But I did want to just briefly address, there was all of this hubbub that happened over the holiday weekend, Brian, about the fact that the White House shared preferred questions with Earl ahead of the interview.
Oh, my goodness.
And like the entire media stratosphere, like, lost its ever loving mind. It was like, but the Pence, the question. It was crazy.
Can I clarify that? Because that was part of the actual back and forth.
Well, I don't want to, because the detail doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, because it's fine.
It doesn't. And I can, so I worked on Wall Street. I had clients who were in the news every day. Part of my job back then was I often interacted with the press, or I helped their communications people interact with the press. I've interacted with the press for the last 7.5 years. All of the time in my capacity representing Milwaukee County through those non-events called COVID, the Black Lives Matter protests, the recounts, just a few things. And here's what, and having now done this on and off for like 4 years as a host, here's what every single VIP interviewee does. They send you desired questions ahead of the interview. All of them. If their handlers or their team or their PR team didn't do that, that's like professional malpractice. It happens all the time. And Mr. Ingram had the freedom to ask whatever question he wanted. He never gave any promise that he wouldn't ask anything but what they said. I mean, that's all nonsense. Never agreed to limit the questions that the president was going to be asked. So I just, all of this press about this, sideshow. There is a very real debate that is happening about whether or not Mr. Joe Biden, our president, should stay as the nominee for the Democratic Party. That's the question we need to be focused on. Not the fact that Joe Biden, like every other candidate I've ever worked with, or any other VIP, sent suggested questions to an interviewer. Shocking, I know. And the fact that a lot of the coverage omits that, that the people writing the stories that know that that is completely normal practice, omitted that. Now that is professional malpractice, because it is the context that you need to understand the situation. So that's just my two cents on that bit of news from the weekend. But when we come back, we're going to get into it. Do you think Joe Biden should stay on the ticket? Let's have that discussion. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Stick with us, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your farm update is next.
I ain't gonna do it.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to make a correction on air because I think I misheard what CJ was actually trying to say. So let me correct a couple of facts about the inflation rate. Okay. When Joe Biden took office in January of 21, you know, after Donald Trump led an armed resurrection to try to stop that from happening, you know, after that. So we still thankfully had a democracy so that we could argue about inflation rates and Fed policy and who should be running the Fed. So thankfully that was unsuccessful. It was around 1.4, 1.5%. And it peaked at around 9% in June 2022. Okay. Which was about, let's see, Joe Biden had been president for 16 months by the time inflation peaked. Okay. Note, Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022, February. That fact alone, okay, energy prices, gas prices went way up after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So did food prices, because there's this massive Russian pipeline. It's like, you look on a map, check out where Ukraine is. This is extremely important. To fight that inflation, Joe Biden has drilled more oil than any other four-term president. Okay, so Joe Biden has brought that inflation down from a peak of 9%. To just, it's been hovering a hair over 3%. And by the way, like target inflation is usually around like 2.5. So I just, I owe everybody to try to get, I think I heard what CJ said wrong. I wasn't clear in my response. So it's really important. And again, what Dave said from Madison, all very critical here, right? Inflation rates are lagging economic indicators, by the way. There's no economist that will tell you different. We could have an entire show that talks about how emboldened Vladimir Putin was by Donald Trump. We could have an entire show that talks about basically Vladimir Putin is sending Russian military to be slaughtered on the lines because he's praying for another Donald Trump presidency to save him from the international pressure and the loss of the war, what will be inevitably, hopefully, his loss in Ukraine. Getting Russia out of Ukraine and pushing Vladimir Putin back, guess what is that's good for? It's good for consumer prices. It's good for middle class Americans. Guess what Donald Trump doesn't want to do? Push back Vladimir Putin and deal with the threat that Russia poses to Western democracies. I have digressed, but I wanted to make that correction. When I get it wrong, I want to get it right. Thanks to folks pointing that out. My apologies to you, but when I am wrong, I will try to get it right.
Huh. I don't ever see literally anybody on the right ever doing that ever, ever, ever.
It's fascinating, right? All right, so let's bring everybody up to speed. Then we're going to go to the phones. Do you think Joe Biden should stay on the ticket or should he step back? Today, Joe Biden issued a letter to Democrats. It included, it's two pages, basically. Says this, I can respond to all this by saying, clearly and unequivocally, I would not be running again if I did not absolutely believe I was the best person to beat Donald Trump in 2024. I received over 14 million votes, 87% of the votes cast across the entire nominating process. I have nearly 3,900 delegates, making me the presumptive nominee of our party by a wide margin. This was a process open to anybody who wanted to run. Only three people chose to challenge me. One fared so badly that he left the primaries to run as an independent. Looking at you, Dean. Another attacked me for being too old and was soundly defeated. The voters of the Democratic Party have voted. They have chosen me to be the nominee. Do we now just say this process didn't matter, that the voters don't have a say? I decline to do that. I have no doubt that I and we can and will beat Donald Trump. We have a historic record of success to run on, from creating over 15 million jobs, including 200,000 just last month. Yeah, that not reported because of all the kerfuffle. Historic lows of unemployment, to revitalizing American manufacturing with 800,000 jobs, to protecting and expanding affordable health care, including $35 a month in priced insulin for seniors, to providing student debt relief for nearly 5 million Americans, to a historic investment in combating climate change. And it goes on and on and on. Trump stood in Mar-a-Lago and told the oil industry that they should give him $1 billion and he'll do whatever they want. Republicans want another $5 trillion in tax cuts for rich people. I said two. It's five. $5 trillion in tax cuts for rich people so they can cut Social Security and Medicare. By the way, that is a Googleable fact. This whole tariff scheme, the tax cuts for the rich, what this will do is it will drain the coffers of the U.S. federal government, and it will put such pressure on our budgets that it will make cuts to Medicare and Social Security unavoidable. If you think that you want to be able to cash your Social Security, that you want to have Medicare when you retire, guess what? You need to be voting for Joe Biden. It's simply that simple.
Yeah, but he's not as clear as I want him to be.
I mean, Joe Biden has always been a gobbledygook speaker. He's never been adequate. Oh, by the way, back in 2020, David Axelrod, people from the Obama campaign and White House, a whole bunch of people basically said Joe Biden can't win. There was the whole media elite, the whole commentariat. I'm one of them, but, you know, small homegrown radio here in Wisconsin. I'm one of you all. And we're seeing the same thing. It's the media elite with the pearl clutching. It's the Beltway folks in D.C. Apparently, Jerry Nadler and a couple of other House Democrats said in a call today with Hakeem Jeffries he should step down.
Wow, Nadler's being forceful. How amazing.
Weird.
Be nice if he did that earlier, but, you know, things that mattered.
And terrible debate. 3.5 years of accomplishments for the middle class.
Here's a question for you, a theoretical question. Let's pretend tonight both Trump and Biden both have a stroke and they die. Their head explodes and they're done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have a protocol for, you know, who steps in for the president. And to be honest, there's at least 20 to 25 people that'll probably step in and just be fine. In fact, you could put Biden's corpse up there. It would still run. Without Trump, what do they have?
And I just want to say this. Does anybody remember the fact that Republicans and members of Donald Trump's own cabinet talked about using the 25th Amendment to remove him from office because he's so unfit? All right, let's go to the lines. Do you think Joe Biden should stay in the race? Mike, what do you have to say this afternoon? Should he stay or should he go?
Well, you know, Maggie, I appreciate you taking my call, but I don't know who you see when you see this man in the limelight. What I see, a feeble old man who's been in politics way too long, and his family should be ashamed of themselves. This is elder abuse. He must step down.
So I also see a diminished man who's not the same as he was. But I also see someone that has an incredible, voluminous knowledge of nearly every domestic and foreign policy issue. He has never been articulate. I see a man that I know that if he reaches a point where he thinks and believes he can't do the job, he will step down. That's the man I see, as well as the man who is not who he was 2 or 3 years ago.
If he's that feeble, how does he know enough to step down?
Well, certainly, and again, let's be clear here. The 25th Amendment exists for a reason. Right. And that, do you think, looking at what we just went through in a Trump presidency and what Democrats, frankly, the willingness of Democrats to have this discussion right now, I don't think Democrats would hesitate to use the 25th Amendment if he didn't have enough sense to know that he needs to step down. Absolutely. 100% faith in that process.
We take care of our own really well.
Meaning we put our own out to pasture really well. We hold ourselves accountable. When the alternative is that guy, Mike, yeah, I agree with you. He ain't what he used to be, but I'll take that any day over Trump. Which do you think poses the greater threat to the success of the middle class and the continuance of our democracy as we've experienced it for 248 years, Mike? Which one, Trump or Biden?
Well, I wasn't around for 248 years, but I can tell you the Trumpster in his first term did not do all the diabolical stuff that you preach he's going to do in his next term.
Okay, what do you disagree with? Have you looked at Project 2025? Give me something specific, Mike. Tell me one specific policy or one specific thing from Project 2025 or that I've said or attributed to Donald Trump that you're contending now is false. One specific policy.
You cannot predict what the Trumpster is going to do.
No, they actually wrote it down. There's a plan. It's called Project 2025. Mike, Google Project 2020. You may disagree with me, Mike, but they actually published a plan. And Mike, do you remember the fact that there wasn't an RNC platform in 2020? They just went, we don't need one because it's just about fealty and loyalty to a person. Should they have a platform that discusses policy in specific terms? Can we agree on that? That the Republican Party and the Democratic Party owe you and me and everybody listening specific policy as platform that is adopted coming out of their convention. Can we agree on that?
Well, we can agree on that. But now what you've done is you've spun it because you asked me a question if Joe Biden is fit.
No,
to be president.
Listen,
I say no, but
and I disagree.
And you spun it.
Listen, Mike, I asked you. I'm so frustrated by this. First of all, it's my show. I get to ask follow up questions and take the conversation wherever I'd like. That's called my privilege as a host. You gave your opinion. I responded to that, and I asked you a follow up question, which is, who is the greater threat? And you said everything. We don't need to recap it. Couldn't name a specific policy, but at least I got to a place with Mike where he agrees that the American public is owed a specific set of policy positions from the Republican Party. I want to hear from more of you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mike, We may get frustrated with each other and disagree, but I appreciate you calling and listening. I'll always give you a crack at it. We're going to have to take care of a little housekeeping here. How much time do we have here, Brian?
About a minute and a half.
Well, how about Jim from Appleton? You got about a minute, probably. What do you think? Should he stay or should he go?
I think he should stay, and I disagree with you on him being diminished. I think that what is happening is he's become more cautious.
Mm.
He realizes the mistake he made with the railroad workers and their potential strike, and he's stepping back from that, and everything he has done since then has been pushing union.
Yes.
Pushing the middle class.
Yes. I hear you, Jim. I really appreciate your opinion and your calling. That is Jim from Appleton saying Biden should stay. And I'll actually just amend what I said a moment ago. I mean, I think he is diminished. Age soldiers on. But I also think everything that Jim said is also true. It's an and here. Joe Biden has gotten it done for the middle class. Period. Full stop. He will again in a second term. We're going to take your calls when we come back. Should Joe Biden stay or should he go? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. One of you, even when we disagree. There is a theme, though, Brian. I mean, every time I get into an argument with a conservative, you sort of, I'll ask, name me a policy, I'll tell you what the Democratic compromise is, and then I'll tell you that the conservatives don't move at all, or there's not even a naming of a specific policy. It's just vagaries.
I'll tell you.
Frustrating to me.
If the Republicans adopted their platform from the Eisenhower campaign, I would vote Republican.
Isn't that interesting?
Nearly every time.
Demand an actual policy platform, Republicans.
They don't care.
And it can't be, I bend a knee to the altar of Donald Trump, who has now been anointed king and is immune from...
This is the secret magic secret of the right. Look at someone like Brian Stile. Brian Stile has zero. The man is tofu. He doesn't have any opinions. He doesn't have any thoughts. He doesn't have any of his own ideas. He is an empty suit. And the reason why Republicans continue to run out empty suits and people with no actual substance to them whatsoever.
Because there is no policy.
Because someone like CJ and someone that is just, my opinion is fact. Those people will go and take whatever stupid ideas they have and put it on the empty suit because the empty suit doesn't have anything, and pretty much anything you say can be on that empty suit.
When people can project whatever their core values onto you because you speak in vagaries, that can work.
Always does on the right.
Again, I'll actually get stuff wrong because I'll talk about things specifically and then I'll correct them and apologize to each and every one of you. Gene from Eau Claire, should Biden stay or should he go?
Absolutely stay. You know, Grandpa Joe has still got it. I agree with you 100% that he has a lot of history. I mean, we know Joe. Look at how long he's worked for our country. And been in policy making, paying attention to all the different aspects, and actually working his entire life to make America better. Yes. So, you know, yeah, he may be a little bit more feeble, but he's got great people working around him, not people that are criminals that are kind of take everything they can get while they're in the positions. He's got people of honesty and integrity all around him.
Yep. And when Trump ran the first time, everybody said, don't worry, it's the team. He's totally unfit, but he'll have a great team. Now, all of a sudden, that's not okay for Democrats to say. From the 608, a texter, if Joe says he's up for the challenge, I support him because he's an honorable man that will do what is best for the country and the middle class, unlike the orange Oompa Loompa. Jake from Milwaukee, how about not voting for a criminal convicted on 34 counts who raped a woman, killed thousands of people via COVID-19, and says he wants to be a dictator? I agree with you, Mike. No kidding. Jack from Racine, should he stay or should he go?
Definitely stay. He's been a good president and the best of my lifetime. It's just too late for this. He's got a huge number of delegates. The Democratic Party, to me, and one who knows about the ground game, is what wins it for Democrats. And right now, everything is primed. It's like a giant crossbow with the Democratic Party, with Joe Biden loaded in on the crossbow, ready to fire out. And now we have this Comey moment coming, fortunately not in front of the election, by the media, so many, and politicians, both of whom are people who opposed him in 2000, and they jumped at it within minutes.
Yep. Excuse me, Jack. 100% correct. The media is leaning in because this gets clicks. It gets clicks from the liberals. It gets clicks from the far left, the far right. It's selling eyeballs, right? Eyeballs are what they thrive off of. And boy, this is feeding the machine. I'm ashamed of many in the media who have claimed with such certitude to know what is best. Millions of people voted for him in the primary. They knew what his age was. Brian from Iguanago, should he stay or should he go?
I think he should stay, and I'll put it simple like this. I don't like either candidate, but I'd rather have one in the office that has that's surrounded by a bunch of educated and intelligent people as opposed to someone who's surrounded by a bunch of yes people. That's all.
I mean, couldn't have said it better myself. A team of rivals, maybe? A president that will actually entertain people who disagree with him?
I believe that was a Republican president that
did
that, huh? Yes,
that was Lincoln. Crazy. Team of rivals. Someone that cares about details. Sue from Franklin texting in, didn't you say something the other day about getting another Democrat on the ticket being very difficult, including Wisconsin? Why don't we hear more about that? Or why don't some of the Democratic people point that out? Thank you, Sue. I'll give you my final word. Here's my final word on this. Are you freaking kidding me? Unless you know to a legal certainty that someone, namely Kamala Harris, could be substituted for Joe Biden in Georgia, Nevada, and Wisconsin, we should not even be having this discussion. Not, shouldn't say that. Talk about it, but we need to move on. And here's what. The Heritage Foundation, the authors of Project 2025, the controllers of what Donald Trump is going to do as a president, yep, go Google it. They've already stated on the record, we'll sue in every state to keep any state from substituting another candidate for Joe Biden. You want to give the Republicans something to argue about and claim trickery for months about the election? You think that's in the betterment of our democracy? That question alone is the end of the discussion. You add on campaign finance restrictions on who's raised money for whom. You can't transfer that. You add the ground game. You add the voters. It's time for the elites to stop talking to one another. The Hollywood moguls and the donor class and the billionaires and the people who wade in this pond every day for a living. It is up to the voters. There is one choice this fall. It's between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. We all had better get ourselves ready to make the most important decision in modern American democratic history. Don't worry, we didn't get to Joe Biden's top 100, but I will do it tomorrow. We're talking infrastructure. the thing that a president can do to actually help the middle class, juice an economy, bring inflation down. And Joe Biden has done it in spades, and he's done it right here in Wisconsin for your family and mine. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's going to do it for us this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, even when I get things wrong. And it's always better when we stand together. The Devil's Advocates are next.
And the buck stops with me.